We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Toby Altizer. We are inside the luxurious Lakeland University studios, online or in person. Learn your way at lakeland.edu. This is fun and professional. Hey, Rami, can you hear me?
I hear you. Do you hear me?
Yeah, okay. I was trying to talk to you down the line before the show started during the break. I had things about the station and coworkers I wanted to privately complain to you about, but...
Oh.
Yeah. I guess we'll do that on air instead.
Let's do it.
So, Toby...
I'm hearing an echo. Do you hear an echo? I can deal with it.
How bad is it?
It's significant. I can deal with it. It's not going to stop me.
We're good on air, Toby. Just wait. I'm just doing this all on air. We're good on air, but Rami says he hears an echo now, which there's like echoes on echoes back in the building. So I look forward to you coming in. And hey, we're going to be on the air. You got to deal with it. I got nothing to do unless you want to. If you want to call, on the phone, we can do the phone.
I just want to make sure it wasn't affecting the on-air product.
It's absolutely not, but if you want to do the phone and make it easier, we can do that.
Nope, I'm good right here.
Okay, because God knows we can't set up Skype or Zoom.
Right.
On my end.
I mean,
you do
it so
well.
I get you on Zoom every Tuesday on my show. I don't know why you can't work Zoom on your show, but whatever you want, dude.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, I'm here for you, Bart, however you want.
Now, Rami does sound good. Rami's on this piece of technology that came out in, like, March of 2018 and was obsolete by April of 2018. Nobody uses it anymore. Except for you on this hit.
Why wouldn't anybody use it anymore? It's a great piece of technology. I love it.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Certainly. It's Toy Drive week. Today's kind of the final couple of days here. I know this is something that means a lot to you. You've been a part of so many of them. And even when you left us for like 18 months, It still meant a lot to you, and now you're back to do it again. We're talking now. I'm going to see you, I believe, with our own very eyes. We'll connect tonight.
Are you going to be in the building?
I'm going to be in the building.
Nice.
I'm going to be in the building, yeah,
nice.
6 to 8.
I like it.
Be in the building. Well, I heard they were bringing food, so I came.
Oh, sweet. The whole lineup is going to be there tonight, from Bart Winkler to Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Ryan. The whole thing. We're all going to get together tonight. And I wasn't sure who was going to be actually in studio and who was going to be using obsolete technology like I'm using right now to dial in.
Yeah, no, I will be there. I will be there and I will be ready to go. And looking forward to continuing the coverage. And then in the overnight, it's Tim and Evan, which sounds like a country band, actually. Tim and Evan. Sounds like a country duo. And I'm sure Tim will bust out his guitar at some point. He's known to do that. From 12 to 3, it's Dan Plucker and Ryan Horvath.
Ooh.
I have Horvath on Friday mornings to do our picks, but if he's not going to go to bed till like 4:30 his time, he ain't going to get up for me.
Yeah, he's on that East Coast time.
Yeah, he ain't going to get up for me. I got to figure out what I'm doing there.
You want me again tomorrow? I can come back tomorrow.
Maybe if I need you to do picks, I need somebody else to do picks.
I can do picks.
We do weekly picks.
Do you do them against a spread, or do you just do who's going to win, who's going to lose?
Spread.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're grown-ups.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you're grown up.
Do you guys do them just straight up?
Yeah, we just do them straight up.
How's your records? Are they any good?
Sam has that information. We're pretty good, though. We're pretty good. We've had a couple of rough weeks the last couple of weeks.
That's the best part about what I use Toby for is just everything that we ever do, he keeps track of. I have no idea.
That's the job of a producer.
Yeah. It makes me sound so terrible because Thursdays we do our fantasy. We do a fantasy DraftKings kind of fantasy for the game. And we each pick three people. And I don't ever remember who I pick, and I don't know what the score ever is, and I don't know who wins. But Toby's got it all there.
A lot of brain power goes into hosting a radio show, man. A lot of brain power goes into hosting a radio show, and we have some fine producers, you and me, who aid in that. Who do some of the stuff that takes some of the stuff off our plate so that we can focus on being the great informative entertainers that we are.
Yeah, I don't have time to remember the things I say.
Exactly.
Or do.
Right.
Before we get all sentimental, I don't want to ruin that. So let's get J-Mo now. What's up, J-Mo? Oh.
Hey. How you doing, Bard and Rami?
How you doing?
The dynamic doer, Radio Magic in your morning.
Yep.
Hey, you forgot to add one achievement to Brian Kelly's long list of resume.
Oh, when I talked about him 2 hours ago? Yeah, what was that?
Murderer.
Okay.
Remember I killed that boy? They had to go up to that tower for football practice, even though it was the windiest day we had in 100 years. And the tower fell, and that boy fell to his death.
I do. It's very sad.
So I wanted to remind people that Brian Kelly.
I think of it during the week and the stories of him, but I don't mention it on the air. Maybe you follow my lead?
Well, now I have, and the people can remember that he's a murderer as well.
Yeah. A legend. Is that all you have?
Yeah, that really was all I have. But okay. I want to hear some radio magic, so I'll let you go.
All right, J-Mo. All right, when we talk, speaking of, I'm going to make an amendment, Toby, to your job.
Murderer is pretty harsh.
Yeah.
That's pretty harsh.
I told Toby, I know there's a screening list up there that you, I mean, the corporate wants you to screen these calls so you take all the originality out of them. But I tell Toby, don't screen anybody. I want raw, fresh, live content. I'm going to need you to screen J-Mo. I can't.
He's on the list.
He's on the list.
He's on the screening list.
Like, I love J-Mo. I do. We met him. But I'm going to need that thing thoroughly screened. All the screening that you would do collectively on everybody else, don't do. Just do it only to J-Mo.
All right, I got it.
Yeah,
got it.
MJ is on the south side. MJ, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, thank you, Bart, for taking my call. Love your show. But I need to hear more sentimentality. I want to hear something in the spirit of the holidays. So I want something from you. I want something from Rami. Something very sentimental. And that's all I'll accept. Thank you.
What a weird call. Thank you. What the hell was that?
He wants sentimentality, bro. That's what he wants.
Well, I was being sentimental. You know what I really think about a lot is I think about how the unity has kind of escaped the word community. Don't you kind of think about that?
I think about, like, we're
all doing our own thing, you know?
I never even thought about the fact that the word unity is in community.
Oh, yeah, community.
You just blew my mind, man.
Community. It's right there. It's written right there. And wow. I think that we should rely on our fellow neighbors as they rely on us. We are a part of a society. We live in a society. You know, I just, and that's why I like the toy drive so much.
How much do you interact with your neighbors, your actual neighbors, like right there around you in your neighborhood?
Well, our fences are low, so we, like, my backyard is basically four people's backyards.
Mm.
So a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I'm good with the neighbors. Yeah.
This is going to come off bad. I find interacting with, socializing with neighbors to be the most desperate act of socialization that exists in our society. You know what I mean? It's like I got these kids. I'm stuck at the house. I can't go anywhere. Let me just be friends with the closest person I can find. You know what I mean? It's not about do we have similar interests. It has nothing to do with their personality. It's just like I can't go anywhere. They can't go anywhere. We're both here. Let's have a burger. You know what I mean? That's what it seems like to me when people are friends with their neighbors.
Okay, all right. I don't like inherently disagree. I don't want neighbors to not be friends, but yeah, I mean it's like, but then, lifelong friendships can form though. So it is a random draw. I think of one of my real good buddies I just met because I lived next to him in the dorms.
I think when you're kids or even up to college age, okay, it makes sense. But I'm talking about like
we had
adults.
Kids all of a certain age on my street, Follett Street in Fond du Lac, and we got in the newspaper because all seven of us made the honor roll. And wow. the picture
Bunch
said,
nerds, huh?
Follett Nerd Street Honor there. Roll Squad.
They call it Nerd Street.
Yeah, we lived on Dork Drive. You live on Ass Avenue. Buzzkill Boulevard.
I'm just saying, man. Why are people hanging out with their neighbors? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I see, we just had a couple that moved and we really liked them, but I really haven't kept in touch.
Of course you didn't.
And then now we have another couple that moved into that house and we like them too, but.
Of course you do.
And the guy next to me, he's a real great dude.
I'm sure he is.
I think his name's Rob.
I don't even know the man's name.
No, the neighbors. Name. So we've lived in the house now for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And the house to our right, this is the third batch of people that live there. The first batch was a couple of like freshly out of college kids. And there was like three of them there. And I forgot their name. So that's when I went and when they were gone, I broke into their porch to check their mail. To see what their names were.
Why'd you do that after they moved? It did you no good to know their names after they moved?
No. This is what they weren't there. They were like out drinking or something one night.
Oh, okay. I got it.
So I went to their house. And then like the next day I was like super aggressive about it. I was like, "Hey there, Jesse. What's up, Jesse? Hey, you like the song Jesse's Girl? You ever see the show Jesse on NBC? It was after Friends for 2 years.
I've never attempted. Like, I'm friendly to my neighbors. Don't get me wrong. A smile, a wave. I'm not a jerk. I'm not uncivilized or anything by any means. But like, I've never really made an effort to make my neighbors my friends. Now, my neighbor downstairs at this place I live at now, he's the bartender at the bar up the street that I go to quite frequently. So we've become acquainted. We know each other. He's a good dude. They're a nice young couple. But like, but really, I feel like that's more, we do share similar interests. He's a big sports guy. He likes comedy. He's a really good bartender. He mixes a mean drink. I like a mean drink. So it's like, that's more of an actual, I wouldn't even call it friendship, but like a natural acquaintance than being forced by just proximity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I listen to that whole thing. Jacob's on the south side. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, so here's the deal with like neighbors. I'm kind of like Rami here. I'm not unfriendly in that, like, I'm not just going to be like the weird mean neighbor that like is a jerk to the kids in the neighborhood, or like I'm not going to call the cops on you if I hear too much noise or something. But on the other hand, I also like don't ever want to converse with you in any way, shape, or form. Like, if I'm walking into my house and you come over and start talking to me about your landscaping, I'm just going to be like, dude, what in the blue hell are you talking about? And why am I wasting any of my life on you? You know, like,
jeez.
I want you to be like, I know you're there, but you're completely unseen and unheard of. Like, it's weird to me if I see you unpacking groceries out of your car and going into your house. Like, I'm like,
well, these people have a right to life, though, Jacob. I mean,
and it's strange, but like, I'm parking my car, and like, I get mad for no reason. I'll be like, "What the hell are you doing?" Like, you know, they're like you said, they're living their life, but it's like, you know, I'm trying to get into my home and like get into my world. Like, the most neighborly thing that I'll ever do is like, if I see somebody like hit and run your car, I'll maybe knock on your door and be like, "Yeah, somebody hit your car."
Maybe.
Yeah,
Jacob, you gotta. So the solution is you gotta buy the house next to you.
In a perfect world, yes, because, like, I'm not a country guy, so I can't go live out in the middle of nowhere. So, like, I would love to just, like, buy the – not even the house next to me. Like, give me the three houses on each side of me. So, like, I just literally never have to interact with any other human if I don't want to. But I can still go to the grocery store in a couple minutes.
We had a caller 5 minutes ago called just to ask for us to be more sentimental, and then this is how we respond?
Well, I heard that, and I also want to say I agree with you. The whole thing about murderer is a little bit harsh. Let's call him manslaughterer. You know, we'll say that.
Oy, oy, oy.
Hey, did you hear that story about Brian Kelly and Matt LaFleur and then was Robert Saleh, the other NFL head coach?
Yeah, and then Robert Saleh was like, no, it was out of context. And then Rob Domofsky's like, that's not what he said 2 years ago because – I'm always playing defense and not doing my job.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I have to imagine maybe Brian Kelly's got something on him, so that's why he's like, no, he's a great guy. And LaFleur's just like, yeah, I don't care, dude.
Oh, yeah, you know Brian Kelly collects other people's skeletons in his closet.
He seems like that kind of guy.
Yeah. All right, good call.
Thanks, boys.
See you, Jacob.
Do you stop your neighbors and talk to them? Like, let's say you're, I don't know, What do you do? You, like, water your lawn? Mow your lawn? You out there doing stuff like that?
Yeah, we'll talk.
But do you initiate?
Yeah.
You do? Mm. Yeah. I don't mind that people are out there living their lives. Go ahead, live your life. Do your lawn thing, whatever it is that you're doing. I don't want to... I'll say hi. Don't stop and start a conversation. Don't stop me and start a conversation. That's not something I'm looking for.
This is wild. Somebody just called in, and they say they're Rami's neighbor. Should I put them on the phone?
Sure.
Hello? Am I on the phone?
Yes.
Is this that little man that lives by me?
I am indeed. The little man that lives by you. Yes.
How come you not come to our neighborhood party?
What accent is this?
Bayview. How come you not part of our neighborhood watch?
I don't give a damn, man.
You can't just come into our... We were here first. You can't just come into our land.
Wait. You tell me to go back where I came from? Is that what you're telling me right now?
I'm not telling you that.
Alright. I'll be at the next cookout. Thank you.
You're not invited. You're not invited.
Thanks for the call.
My God.
That's a Bayview accent? I had no idea.
Brutal.
That was a Bayview accent.
You just got incinerated by that man?
I did.
Woman? I'm not sure.
I did.
I'm not sure who that was. Tony's in Texas. We're taking calls. I had a lot to talk to you about, but...
Hey, that last caller sounded like Borat meets Bart Winkler.
I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. No.
Hey, Rami, I'm 100% behind you on this. And can you imagine J-Mo as your neighbor?
No, I would move instantly.
Yeah. But I'm right behind you, Rami, on this one. I mean, when you start chatting with the neighbors, then you're watching their dog. They're asking you for sugar or garbage bags. It's one big ordeal, so... I don't know how you deal with it, Bart.
Because Bart is part of the he's the part of the equation that needs the interaction. He's the half of the equation that needs it, and we're on the other half where we don't want it.
Craving interaction. I just think what I'm like. There's people that live next to you. You've got to be connected with them, and even if like I go on.
How connected?
Like you got to have their phone number and say, hey, can you check? Is there any packages? Can you put them backyard so I don't get stolen? Mm.
I have the phone number of my neighbors downstairs. We live in the same actual building. It's a duplex. So
awesome.
I feel like we should have each other's numbers in case of emergency. people to my left, to my right, across the street, diagonal, two houses down, three houses down. I don't need their number, and they don't need mine.
Rami, do your neighbors start questioning you about girls you're dating? Like they're seeing a new girl every other week?
No.
That never happens?
I don't.
Hey, Rami's neighbors, they think this man runs a brothel from people coming in and out of that house.
Got the Dallas Cowboy White House there, Rami?
Oh, my goodness. Rami.
Hey, speaking of the Cowboys.
They're like, either this man's got 15 sisters, or this man is a lot of women know where this address is. Rami's a Lothario, present day.
I have female friends, all right? It's okay for males to have female friends in 2021. Let's all be more evolved and civilized, okay?
Or are these fans from your comedy shows that you're bringing home?
These are just acquaintances and friends of mine.
Okay. Hey.
And I don't have, nobody's coming in and out of here, dude. Nobody is coming in and out of here. But on the occasion, you know, that somebody is. These are just
Bart,
friends and acquaintances.
I know you had a question for me, but I got to bring this up. And Rami, can you chime in on this? Didn't you have a question for me? Or something you were going to ask me?
I usually just say, like, what's up?
Oh, okay. Rami, this guy's a Dallas Cowboy fan deep down inside. He's got a lot of empathy for the Dallas Cowboys.
Our guy Bart here?
Yeah.
Yeah, really? I was rooting for the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Why?
I like Dak.
Yeah, but they're, I mean, competition, seeding-wise, to your Packers. What's happening to you? You've been rooting for Justin Fields and the Bears.
I like them.
Now you're rooting for the Cowboys.
No, I just, like, in that particular game, I like Dak.
I like Aaron Rodgers. I don't root for him and the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, well, I don't know. I just in one game, I was rooting for the Cowboys. What are you going to
do? Your thing, man.
What should I burn my stock now? Jeez.
Yeah, strip your ownership, Bart.
My God.
Bart, I hate the Cowboys so much. When the Packers won the Super Bowl back in '96, I bought a bunch of Packer bumper stickers, and also I got these bumper stickers that said Cowboy Championship Rings that were handcuffs. And then I went to their training facility, and my buddies and I kind of broke in there and put a bunch of bumper stickers all over the Cowboys training facility. We thought we were really cool. But my question to you two guys are, what's the biggest mischief you guys ever got into? And don't say the coleslaw thing, but what's the biggest mischief you guys got into, like, in your college days?
What? All right.
Yeah, that's my question. What kind of mischief did you get into back in the day, Bart?
I mean, I vandalized some stuff I'm not proud of.
Like what, egging someone, or?
Windows were broken.
Like throwing baseball bats? What are you doing here?
Well, I've told the story when I threw a brick through a Little Caesars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was trying to impress a girl.
You threw a brick through a Little Caesars?
Yeah, I was trying to impress a girl.
With a brick?
Sadly, she was working in the Little Caesars, so that didn't go well. No, look, I'm not on trial here.
I mean,
wow.
Should you be, though?
Statute of limitations. Yeah.
Rami, you ever getting any mischief back in your day?
No real great stories. Typical mischief, you know, maybe a little too much to drink, whatever the case might be. But no, nothing crazy.
Gotcha. All right, boys.
Gotcha. Pizza.
Pizza. There you go. Good segue. All right, I'm out of here. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you. Wow. This segment brought to you by, look at this. Little Caesars, your home for hot and ready pizzas. Extra most bestest pizzas, deep dish, and crazy bread. Order online for no contact delivery or stop in store today.
Did you really throw a brick through the front of a Little Caesars?
I don't know. Alex is in Tulsa, and so I want to talk to him instead.
Why
what's
are you
up?
Moving on from this?
Hey, Alex.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
I went to the Bucks game with my neighbor last night across the street.
With your neighbor?
Oddly, with my neighbor.
That crowd looked like it was the best of the year, man.
Dude, it was a lot of fun. We were freaking out at halftime because he had a prop bet that the Bucks would score over 60 in the first half. And we were freaking out. Down 8 going into the half, everybody's like, what the heck's going on? And he pushed, so it was great.
Oh, good. It must have been a sizable bet.
No, it was like $20, but he bought drinks at halftime. So
for
a push. He made no money, but bought drinks. I was like, okay.
See, this is why you be friends with your neighbors, because It seems like they're bad at math.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me, but I bought the ticket. It was like, I'm so friendly, it was like a birthday present.
Wow, look at this. They're moving next to me.
Yeah, well, it sounds like Rick from Oshkosh moved next to Rami, so.
He actually moved into the sky. He died.
I'm not saying that you can't be friends with your neighbors, that it can't be a genuine friendship.
No, that Rick did pass away. That's real.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it sucks.
That's sad.
That's a bummer.
You didn't know. I'm sorry.
It's kind of like saying murder on the radio.
It was just accusing people of murdering people. We still have to say allegedly for OJ, even though, geez, look at the glove. Look at the knife.
Yikes.
Rough.
Yikes. I didn't really want to talk about the Bucks game, but I got a crazy neighbor who lives next to my neighbor, and she collects cats. That might be interesting.
Cats aren't collectibles. How does what?
She traps feral cats.
Oh.
In case takes them to Maddock, like it's a nice public service, and I get dead mice in my lawn that I when I mow my lawn.
That's
fertilizer.
Awesome.
That's just fertilizer. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's
awesome. It sucks. You can't have a cool neighbor without having the opposing crazy cat lady neighbor.
Yeah.
Has this been the strangest segment we've ever done together, you and me?
Yeah, I was going to say, I went to the Bucks game last night.
I was talking to Bart.
At least it's somewhat sports related, but I'm going to go. I'm actually pulling into work right now.
All right, Alex. Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
Of all the Rami Alex segments, has there ever been one? As crazy as that. I mean, God, I remember the time that you guys, I don't know what I remember. Wow. Spark guy, what's up?
Spark that can only be topped by the duo of Rami and Spark guy. I mean, like peanut butter and jelly. I called to talk neighbors, but I feel like the call before that, Tony and Dallas, like, it's the Bart Winkler show. Your integrity was questioned not only with your petty theft or vandalism, but also your fandom. Like, which hurts more, to be questioned as a fan or questioned, like, as your integrity as a person, Bart?
Nothing hurts me.
Yeah, he's dead inside. Nothing
hurts him. Yeah, nothing hurts me.
It's not that you're bulletproof, you're just more formless, or like what's the defense there?
You think whatever the hell you want of me. Ain't no sweat on my back. I don't block people and then look what they tweet about me afterwards. I don't do that.
Oh man. Well, I'll just get to neighbors quick. Like, I 99% agree with Rami on the idea that like the whole neighbor dynamic is super dicey. And I think what I'm always most suspect is like when it's everybody in like a neighborhood, it's everybody that's all a part of a group. Like that's where you're suspect. You're like, what is going on? That's ripe for drama and everything else. But I'll give it like the 1%. Like my old neighbor who listens to this show constantly, Kreger's, like me and him, when we lived next to each other, was awesome. Like it was great, but it is like, you got to cross that bridge and it's a huge decision to make to involve a neighbor in your like personal life to that degree. Because it's almost like being in a relationship. Like once you do it, you're in. And so that's an example where it was like, it was awesome when we lived next to each other, but it's almost as risky as a relationship. So I think what I wanted to ask you guys though, is, and I'll hang up and listen, is similarly to like going social with your neighbors. I think a similarly risky, scary situation is vacationing with multiple people and families. And I'm not talking like guys trips or something for a weekend, but like the people that will all vacation together. What are your thoughts on that, Rami? And how risky is that in the totality of things? So
I'm not doing that. I would never do that. I don't want to be tied to anybody on a vacation. You know what I mean? Now you got obligations. You don't want to hold them back. We're going to be late for this. We're going to be late for that. I don't want to do this thing. They don't want to do that thing. I want as little obligation and ties to other people on a vacation as possible. I don't know about you, Bart.
What happens is when you go to vacations with multiple people. Jeez.
Excuse me.
You eventually.
I've been laughing a lot.
You never do that with Alex.
You know, stuff collects.
I don't have anything. I didn't have anything interesting to say. I want to talk to you about something else.
All right.
So I weigh more than I ever have now.
Again?
Yeah, I got back up there. And I notice there's a thing that larger people do that I've started to do. But I don't do it on the radio, thank God, because it'd be unbearable. It's a speech thing. I talk, and then at the end of my sentence, I let out a noise sometimes.
Oh, you're doing that?
You know what I'm talking about?
Like,
No, hey, come here, buddy. We're going to go for a walk.
What?
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with your weight, dude.
Honey, I love you so much. You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
No, that's got nothing to do with your weight. You need to go see somebody.
Well, what is that? I don't do it on the air.
This is a neurological thing or a behavioral thing.
Well, I don't do it on the air. So do I need the microphone? Do I need to walk around with the microphone
at all times?
Yeah. And we've talked about this. Like, if I had to negotiate my cable bill right now, I would want to do it on the air on the show. I can't do it just me and the cable person. I need the theatrics of the show.
I'm much more, not like I'm putting on an act on the, if anything, I'm putting on an act in my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And on the air and on stage when I'm performing stand-up comedy. Yeah. By the way, two chances.
Yeah, this right now, Rami, is the real me.
What's that?
I said, this is the real me.
That's weird, dude.
Yeah, I don't do it a lot, but I have noticed it. I don't like it.
But this Friday, I'll be at 1218 in Grafton performing some stand-up comedy. And Saturday, I'll be at Rounding Third opening up for Tom Clark, who's been on Conan. He has an Amazon special. He opened for Jim Gaffigan at the Fiserv Forum. I'll be there with Tom Clark at Rounding Third. And Tom Clark is going to be on the show today at 4:30 on the Rami Show.
I've got my alarm set. I've got my alarm set.
Your Odyssey app.
I do. I'll probably be listening to it on the way in when I come back here tonight as Rami and I and Spark.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
By the way, Sparky texted me while I was talking to you. This is urgent. Nelson, our sales guy, he needs my order for tallies.
Yeah.
We're getting tallies tonight while we do the show. What'd you get? I'm looking over the menu while I'm talking to you. And listening intently, obviously.
Yeah,
but also looking at the menu.
I just got a chicken wrap. I got a chicken wrap with crispy chicken and their buffalo ranch sauce.
I didn't even look at
Oh my god, did I just do it?
I was looking at the sandwiches.
Wrap. I was thinking about wings, but it's like I don't want to be that messy.
I'm leaning towards a bruschetta chicken sandwich. How do you feel about that? That's chicken smothered with provolone, topped with bruschetta, parmesan. A balsamic glaze served on a toasted French roll and your choice of a side.
Yeah, I went with fries.
I see they have these garlic fries. Garlic parmesan.
I'm not into garlic. I'm not really into garlic.
What?
I'm a vampire.
Really. Do you like spices?
Rosemary and thyme.
Those are herbs.
Parsley? Sage?
Do you look like cayenne pepper, chili powder, cumin?
I don't like ever put anything on my food.
Oh, okay.
Like salt and pepper. I never salt or pepper my food.
I see what's going on here.
I just eat what is in front of me.
Okay.
I never put, like, why do I need to pepper anything? If pepper was supposed to be on it, you would have put pepper in it.
Do you ever cook?
No, I'm bad. I'm very bad.
Okay. Does your wife cook?
Yes, very good.
Okay. Does she put spices and flavor?
Yeah.
On the food.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know that she was a good cook, but she, what a bonus surprise that was.
Where did you find that out?
once we were started to date pretty heavily.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's her specialty? What's her favorite thing that she makes? Your favorite thing that she makes?
Ooh. That's a good question. She gets to my buffalo chicken heart a lot. Makes like some salads and some things like that.
All right.
Rough answer. The Sean O'Connell. What's up, Sean?
Yes, Bart, you have got to come up with a better answer for that.
Boy.
Even if it's not true, just have an answer chambered. That is.
Oh, like, she goodness. Is, I mean, she's a great cook. A lot of times I eat this food that she makes. I'm like, this is like a restaurant. I'm not kidding. But Rami asked me for one dish that I liked, and all I could think of was the thing I ordered from Tally's and said that. Very bad answer.
And that bruschetta sandwich, that sounds awesome. God dang.
Yeah, actually, the order is going in right now. I just hit send.
Yeah, I can hear you doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, that a boy. Yeah, because my wife, she makes a fantastic caprese chicken. So whenever anybody asks me, oh, what's the thing that your wife does the best, that's your favorite, bam, I just say it. And sometimes there have been other things that I don't remember that have been better. But bam, you have an answer. It's a good thing. It's a good husband move, Bart. So quick fat guy question. For you, Bart, are you, you said you make noise now after you're done speaking. How about when you tie your shoelaces? Are you able to breathe, or do you have to hold your breath while you do it? And if the breath is holding, is voluntary or involuntary?
I probably haven't tied my shoelaces in 5 years.
Oh, see, that's...
I just slip on my New Balances and walk out the door.
So you know... What you would be doing had you had to tie it, but you skipped over it. All right, that answers a lot.
Yeah, I just slip on my shoes. Actually, I'm wearing Nikes.
Okay.
Look at me. All right. Am I cool?
Yep. They're
but
very
don't
nice
you have tech. To, not to belabor the point, don't you have to, even with the slip-ons, because most of my shoes are tied.
Thanks, Sean.
Yep. And untie every time I take them on and off. You still have to bend down and like get the shoe on your foot, right? Or do they slide on and off that easy?
No, I just jam it in there.
Okay.
Yeah, jam my foot right in.
All right.
Hey, I'm gonna let you go.
Okay.
We didn't talk about baseball really. They are on strike.
Lockout.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I have the energy for this again.
I hate Rob Manfred.
Yeah.
Is there more to say about it than
and
that?
And how about how brilliant, this is the one brilliant thing he's ever done. They're doing this and they're like, well, you better get your contract signed. So everyone signs these massive contracts. Now it looks like all the players are rich. Because all you hear
yeah,
about
but it
for
also
a week.
Looks like the see, that's one way to look at it. I look at it and go, well, obviously the owners have money. You know what I mean? They're giving out all this money. And then they're going to go and cry poor and say that this system isn't sustainable.
The other thing that's different about this, and Buster only tweeted this, I've been thinking about it, I mentioned it a few times today, is when they went on the lockout in 94, the strike lockout in 94, there was no social media. Life has changed. They're going to get a lot of feedback a lot quicker than they did.
Did you see what they're doing at MLB.com?
It's insane.
They're not doing any stories about current players.
No, and the Brewers, you can go look at the Brewers roster, and it's the roster's there, but they took away their heads.
It's so ridiculous, dude. It's so ridiculous. Rob Manfred represents something.
Did you see the Cardinals giveaway?
No, what was the Cardinals giveaway?
All right, so they have a giveaway already announced in April where it's Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina mystery jerseys. So what they're going to do is give you a mystery jersey of the guys. You don't know what jersey is going to be. It's a great giveaway.
What do you mean a mystery jersey?
Like you might get like a road one or a home one. You're going to get a Yachty or Wainwright jersey, and you just don't know who or what kind. Okay? So it's a jersey giveaway.
Okay.
But now the website says adult Cardinals battery mystery jerseys.
Like this instinct to be combative.
Yeah.
And this is why we have so many problems in society now, Bart.
Hey, I'm going to do a little guest crosstalk. Are you excited for that?
Okay, yeah.
Because my next guest joining me.
Is the show over?
No, I got a good 15 minutes. Mike Wickett.
Hey.
Formerly of this fine program, Wixie, Rami, Bart, the Dream Team.
Is Rami asleep? My God, did you just wake his ass up?
No, this is what I sound like. I come like on in his the show and I do the same thing to him because I wake up from a nap and sleepwalk my head, too. Yeah.
What's up, fellas?
Not much. You know, toy drive, Bucks.
Oh, what a reunion Bruce between a trade. You two. Wow.
How are you, Wicket?
I'm well, guys. I'm doing real well. You know, three kids in Iowa. Same as always. It's always been.
Rami? Well, Rami's no-selling you pretty hard. I'm going to let Rami go.
You're the one with the kids. I don't know.
I thought you guys would have a nice reunion. I talked to Mike. I talked to you. You guys, I don't know. Do you talk? I don't know.
I'll bring up to Wicket what I brought up to you. I'll see if Wicket agrees with me. I was saying to Bart earlier that I feel like befriending neighbors, in most cases, there is like the 1 in 100 that's actually somebody who you would befriend anyways. But I feel like in most cases, befriending neighbors is something that's done out of desperation. Like you got kids, you can't leave the house. They got kids, they can't leave the house. You're there, they're there. You need an adult to interact with. They need an adult to interact with. So you put stuff on the grill and give them beers out of your fridge.
So what you're saying is you haven't made any friends where you live.
No, not around me. No, why would I do that?
And it's by Rami's choice. What we don't know about this story is that none of his neighbors like him.
I get that.
I understand that. I worked with Rami for 7 years, and I don't like him. So I get that. Why the new neighbors would take one look at him, listen to him, talk to him, be like, nope, get this a-hole off my block. I don't really want to come to his barbecue. My take on neighbors is completely the opposite. My neighbors, we bought a new house this summer, and our neighbors saw us surveying the land for a fence because we need to have a fence for the three kids so we could corral them like cattle. And my neighbor said, I'll build you a fence. And he did it at 1/6 of the cost. And the other three neighbors that all have yards that butt up next to each other, we had five guys, three circular saws. It took a week of pouring concrete. I'm going to a birthday party coming up on Saturday.
Yes.
I was at a bonfire for my neighbor on Saturday night a week ago. Like, we're very friendly with our neighbors, Rami. I think this is a you thing.
You just proved what I was saying. Y'all didn't have common interests. It wasn't like,
but
hey,
you can
I'm
find
Packers
friendship
you're
in many
fan.
Different forms.
This was out of convenience. This was y'all needed.
How
a
are
fence.
You and I friends, Rami?
Because we have
because
very
we work together.
Personalities.
Convenient.
Aye.
It's a matter. You made these friends out of convenience and cost effectiveness. That's all this was.
Okay. Well,
we would have listen. We would have been friends with them if I had a professional fence maker come in. I still would have been friends with everybody because I didn't know they knew how to make a fence. I want to be their friends. Yeah. We want to be the good neighbor. We're gonna have barbecues. We're gonna watch my kids grow up. Two of them are empty nesters. Three of them are empty nesters. The other ones have kids that are of the same age as mine. Like, if we're going to be in this house for a long time, we would love to meet our neighbors. How do you start every relationship?
Yeah.
It's out of convenience.
Now I was on Wicked's side, but now we know more about your neighbors than we know about our own. So now it is getting weird.
By the way, I do have a very good friend in the neighborhood. We just happened to be good friends before we moved into the same neighborhood.
Oh, but how did you meet him?
Through comedy.
Convenience.
Through what?
Comedy.
Yeah.
That's convenience.
No.
Comedy convenience. You have shared interests. You guys get to get up there and pretend you're funny for 10 minutes. This guy probably laughs at your jokes, and he's the one.
Yeah, you're on the same stage. It's like being on the same block.
We're very willing to tell each other.
I got to let Rami, I'm going to depart with you. I'll see you tonight.
All right.
What
are you
get your tallies order in.
I just did.
Okay.
I love the both of you. Not out of convenience.
Yeah, love you too.
You're just good men.
All right.
Appreciate you.
Okay. We are happy to be joined. This is the voice of Mike Wickett, who now works at a rock station or something. I don't know. What are you doing?
Yeah, I work for Laser, which there used to be a Laser up there in Milwaukee. Now I'm at Laser down here in Des Moines doing the rock thing Monday through Friday, 6 to 10, and then still doing some sports stuff, you know, How are you, Bart? Are you getting ready to name the show after me for one day when I win our next bet?
Yeah, we do have a bet. The bet was that Cincinnati was going to be undefeated and be screwed out of the college football playoff, and I have to name the show after you for a day.
Yeah, it'll be the Mike Wicked show. If Cincinnati keeps winning, they're in. And if they win on Saturday, which they should win their conference championship, if they lose to Houston, the bet is null and void. But when Cincinnati wins and is included in the college football playoff, you will be calling this show the Mike Wicked Show for one full day. And don't think I'm not using one of my last two personal days to stream the thing the entire time and sit at home.
So how do you want me to play that? I obviously got to make new imaging, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I think we got enough drops of you. Do you want to be on that show that day? You'd have to be on that show.
I mean, I'll take the day off work. And by the way, if for whatever reason the committee screws Cincinnati and puts in Oklahoma State or Notre Dame or whatever, then I will be donating $100 in my children's name to the toy drive, which is the coolest thing that the fan does all year long.
You told me it would be my kid's name.
Fine. It could be in your kid's name, whatever you want, Bart. But it's not going to matter because as long as Cincinnati wins, they're in.
Bartavius Maxwell Winkler Jr. is what I want.
It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. Yeah, it is Toy Drive Week, and we do like to check in with you because long before I was here, and we did have a crossover in the Venn diagram once. God, could you moved and we didn't tell anyone, and now it's like, who cares? That's weird.
Yeah, in 2015, I moved out of Milwaukee down to Kansas City because my wife, well, were we married yet? No, then girlfriend Lee got a job in Kansas City. And I did the show from a little closet in a studio in Kansas City while our old partner Chuck was in the little studio there. And you were there like as the middleman.
Yeah.
And nobody knew. But after COVID, had that been, you know, if we had moved during COVID, it's like nobody's in studio at all. It's totally fine. You know, as long as we're talking about the Packers or the Bucks and Brewers or whatever, nobody gave a rip. So it's amazing how quickly things have changed. Thanks COVID for that.
Yeah, it's really weird because we like flew you up here once a month and you did videos that we strategically posted to make it look like you were here.
So true. We took pictures at Miller Park. Yeah. We took pictures at the Bradley Center. All this stuff to put on a ruse for that 1 year. And I remember I couldn't be in any photos. Like, we would go out in Kansas City, my wife and I, with friends and whatnot. And every picture you see of my wife on Facebook or whatever, I'm the one that took the picture because I wasn't technically allowed to post anything. Like, there's one in our apartment, but you don't know it's our apartment in Kansas City. It's me holding our brand new TV. That's in our apartment in Kansas City, not in Milwaukee, but that's just where we were then. And now it really wouldn't matter. Now, I mean, I could do the show from Des Moines 24/7. They could get rid of you and they could put me back in that slot. And then, you know, nobody would care. Cause as long as we're talking about the Bucks and Brewers and Packers, I mean, hell, I stream a lot of Bally Sports using your account. So we're good.
You do? That's why it's always breaking.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, geez. What a tremendous waste of effort that was though. Right. I mean, I think about that all the time.
Yeah. It's just like,
but wasn't it fun?
I don't know.
Wasn't it fun lying to all these people? I got a kick out of it.
It wasn't fun. I was living two lives. It wasn't fun. You know, I was living my Kansas City life with my wife.
I got a kick out of it because I knew it wasn't sustainable. And then Barty was taking over, baby.
Well, I think you were just biding your time till I quit. I think that's what it was.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was awesome.
I mean, I wasn't looking to get out of the fan or leave the station, but at the time it wasn't sustainable. You're 100%. Yeah. I mean, at the time it was like, you know, you can't do this. You can't be in one city talking about another. And now you totally could.
Well, I know that. And the reason that the neighbor thing came up with Rami is Mike Wicked is joining us is because we were talking. I said that I want to put the unity back in community. You know, I feel like a lot of, and I'm glad that your neighborhood is like that. Cause a lot of times we forget that we are all in this together. You know, I was one of like the few people that liked paying taxes for schools in my neighborhood before I had kids. Cause I want the people that grow up around me to succeed, to make the community better. And I'm still glad that there is this thing that we do where everybody does come together. And what makes me the most joyful, this is very sincere. Sometimes I talk sincere and I sound sarcastic. But what makes me the most joyful is even before we start talking about the toy drive, people are thinking about our toy drive. We've got this guy now. He threw a party a couple of years ago. His name is Rick. And he threw a party where he invites people over and he, you know, just cooked for them and gave them drinks. And someone came up to him at the party. He's like, why don't you charge for this? You're spending a lot of money. He goes, nah, I don't. I just want to. It's a nice thing I want to do. And they're like, we'll take like $5 for donations and donate it somewhere. So he goes, okay, the toy drive. I'll do the fan toy drive. Comes with a check for $280. And I was just floored away. That was a couple years ago. This year, he said, all right, we're doing this for the fan toy drive. I got all the food. I got all the drinks. I think he charged like $150 a head. Everyone willingly paid. He just presented a check for over $4,000 this week to the toy drive. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's
that
a guy
is, I mean,
that we didn't, he thought of it, not us. He thought of it. That's what the Franklin Fire Department, huge thing they did again today, $2,500. They think of it long before us. That's what I love the most about this.
I mean, there were times it became such a tradition from when we had started this thing 15 years ago, which is nuts to think about. But 15 years ago, like Raider Bob, every year, and it was cool to see this because we got to watch Raider Bob's kids grow up. Raider Bob had the same giant black Chevy Suburban, and Raider Bob would drive up, open up the Suburban, four kids would get out. And 15 years ago, they were little kids. And then a couple of years later, you're like, oh, they're getting bigger. And they had nothing but toys in the back of the Suburban, and they would load up the bins and the boxes. And I was like, man, what Raider Bob was teaching his kids to embrace and the community that you're talking about and to get around the toy drive year in and year out was cool. And then it was neat from our perspective to see the family grow up and to see the kids grow up. And like by the time my last toy drive, which was in 2016, maybe it was 2015, you know, Raider Bob's kids were taller than me. Raider Bob's kids were getting out and they're 6'3" and they're going on to college and they're doing whatever they're doing. So this is one of the coolest community events that happens in Milwaukee, and to see it continue on makes me really, really proud.
We have about 3 minutes. Mike Wickett here, our toy drive. You can donate 1250amthefan.com. There are 15 different drop locations right now, more places than ever to go, different fire stations that you can drop off toys. If you have actual toys you want to donate, again, 1250amthefan.com. Obviously, and I think maybe you the same way, first of all, being a dad's the greatest thing of all time. I'm actually not really going to see my son today because of like work and daycare, and I'm like depressed. And to know how like he gets one toy, and it's like the whole world's changed. And you know, he's a healthy boy, but when you have these, you know, I've been to the children's hospital. You've been there too. To see them get a toy, especially around the holidays, some of these kids are like, "I'm in the hospital. This sucks." And all my friends are out celebrating. Santa's coming. It is a big difference. You would think that, oh, I'm going to donate a toy. This is a good thing that I'm doing. Yeah, it is. But I just want to make clear the impact that you really do have on these kids when you donate to this toy drive.
Yeah, I mean, it's the different reactions you see. And we don't get to see every kid open up every toy, and nor should we. That's none of our business. But to know that the representatives at the hospital and the organizations that distribute the toys to the kids, you know, through Christmas and the entire season, because it's not like these kids get to go home anytime soon. A lot of them are there, you know, an hour a week. A lot of them are there every day and can't leave, depending on the severity of their illness or whatever is keeping them in there. And to know that people or Santa can even get to the hospital when they open that up, it makes the poking a little less painful. It makes the, you know, if they're going through chemo or whatever they're going through, it brightens their day. I mean, your life's pretty good, Bart. My life's pretty good. Our kids are healthy, thank God. But some aren't. And to help out and to continue to help out every single year, it's just amazing what Milwaukee has done and what I hope Milwaukee will continue to do from now until our kids are, you know, doing these jobs and hosting sports radio. God forbid.
Oh, yeah, never. God, no. My goal is to make sure sports radio doesn't exist by the time it's a viable job for him. I don't want him anywhere near this
place. You're doing it in Milwaukee. You're killing it. Like, literally, I've heard your show. You are killing it.
I know. Earlier today, I actually called Rami and pretended to be one of his neighbors. It was high comedy.
That's the kind of stuff that shot Carson right to the top and, Dave Chappelle to the top. That's high level comedy right there. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm like the Don Imus of Milwaukee, people say. People really do.
Oh my God.
Mike, good to chat with you. It's always good to hear you. I miss you. I love you. We say I love
all
you
the
on the show.
Same to you, my friend.
No, you gotta say it.
Donate, drop off toys.
You gotta say I
love
you.
You guys.
You gotta say I love you.
Love you, Bart.
Yeah, we say it on the show now. It's a big change. Once your cold heart left.
I can't wait. Well, when Cincinnati's in the college football playoff Sunday, you tell me what day you're going to call the Mike Wickett show. This for 4 hours.
Mike Wickett show.
I'll listen.
I need the streaming numbers, so thank you. Bye, Mike.
See you, Bart.
Mike Wickett. We're back tomorrow. We're live the next 24 hours.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.